Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
He does the research, analyzes the data, and checks the variables. He even submits his findings for peer review. He's the only man with a lab coat made entirely from NFL bed sheets. He's data scientist Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus. Only on the program.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you as we talk some Chiefs football. It's become a tradition, fourth quarter of the program. We always finish strong, and we finish strong with Eric Eager, brought to you by our friends at Big O Tires. Right now, you've still got time to take advantage of their buy three, get one free. All four tires, you need them. You're only going to pay for three of them. It's good now until February 2nd. Buy three, get one free on select tires with paid installation purchase. Go right now to BigOTires.com to find the location nearest you. Open 7 days a week, 16 locations around the metro. ASE certified technicians helping you out with everything. Yes, like tires, but also maintenance, brakes, oil changes, fluids, batteries. They do it all. BigOTires.com. Eric, welcome to the Sprint Guest Line. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Fun weekend this weekend, and looking forward to the Super Bowl.
All right. Here's something that I've been pondering when it comes to talking to you. The numbers and the analytics and the history and all the things that have led up to this point, each individual, what their trends are. You talked on Monday when you were with us. By the way, you're our good luck charm, so we're going to continue on Thursdays. So good. Not that we don't get great information from you, but you know, we're not messing with what ain't broke right now. But for all the things, right, any one off game, anything can happen, right? Small sample size is something we talk about all the time. You know, how much do you feel that Super Bowls, you know, just revert back to what the numbers tell us they're going to be versus end up being, you know, the statistical anomaly, the part that, you know, sets the top or the bottom of the curve?
Well, interestingly, we haven't had, other than Seattle versus Denver in 2013, it played New York City. We haven't had a Super Bowl that was a blowout, that was a laugher in quite some time. Now, we've had, you know, last season Super Bowl, I think the over-under was above 50. It ended up 13-3, I believe, was the final score. So we have had some that have, you know, gone weird ways. But in general, like, usually, you know, for example, the betting markets in these games are pretty efficient. The prop markets are less so. But, like, you know, generally speaking, you get what you kind of expect in these games. And that's, I think that's a good thing for Kansas City, given that they're favored.
All right. As you've had time to look at it and dig through it, is the number right, -1? Should it be bigger? Should it be less? Is there any history that the Super Bowl tells us to magnify? I saw a game that I saw, like, on the total. I know you said you liked the over, but this is one of the higher overs that are out there. And I think the over on the highest, like, 8 is, like, 5-3, or maybe it's the highest 9 of them. It's like the over is only – or, excuse me, the unders actually come in more. The higher you get, the under actually ticks off a few more. Is there anything that you've seen that then leads you to believe the spread – KC -1, there's any reason why this is not the right number?
No, you know, and the over has moved. I mean, it was 51.5, 52, I think, when we talked Monday. Now it's 54. I think it's only going to tick up until the very end when some of the sharp people come in after the public. You know, public likes to see scoring. This number could get up to 56 or something like that before people start to buy back a little bit. But as far as the spread is concerned, you know, most of the time, you know, our model is sort of an ensemble of a bunch of different models. And if you look at certain, like, if you look at the model that overweights quarterback play, Kansas City should be favored by more than, like, by about a field goal, just given the fact that Patrick Mahomes is such a better, you know, much better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. And even when you add in Shanahan's brilliance as a play caller, Andy Reid is more than capable of making that up. So on a neutral field, you kind of like Kansas City in that regard. When you look at things like you just add up all the strength of the players, it's more of a pick 'em, right? It's more of what we're seeing here because San Francisco is so deep defensively And then on offense, they have some good playmakers. They're not quite as good as Kansas City's, but they do more than their share there. Coaching is basically a wash, from an efficiency standpoint, both teams are extremely good there. Kansas City's a little bit more efficient passing, but frankly also, but a little bit less efficient running, even though San Francisco is sort of more of a myth in terms of how explosive their running game is. They are a little bit better than Kansas City there. So I think the number could be a little bit short, but I do think Kansas City should be favored, and not by much more than a field goal, if anything.
Tell me a little bit more, and we're talking to Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. Tell me more about this San Francisco run myth. Why is that a little bit more myth than reality?
Well, we saw, and we watched that game on Sunday. We've seen what San Francisco is capable of explosiveness-wise in the run game. They have running backs who, when they get in the alley, are faster than most of the running backs in the NFL. But it's not as though down for down, they are an efficient running offense. They average negative expected points per run play, which means that more often than not, when they run the football, just like most every team in the NFL, they're getting further away from scoring than they are getting closer to scoring. And what we see oftentimes is just the big play. You and I talked about this, I think, on Monday and also in the pregame show with Mark. It's the Chiefs tackle well enough where I think that a lot of the big plays that San Francisco could get in the run game are a bit mitigated. Green Bay just did not look interested in A, sitting up against the run, and B, actually making the tackle when the running back was in the hole. And so we saw explosiveness there. But that explosiveness, for San Francisco sort of masks the fact that running the football on average is just not all that efficient. And then they, while being more efficient than league average, are not getting themselves closer to scoring by running so much.
I got into a discussion, argument, you might call it, with Danny Klinkscale, and he said the Chiefs' defense against the Titans was the benefactor of Patrick Mahomes, that he used the word bullied, that the Chiefs' defense was bullied. Then he retracted it when I pressed on that and said, I'm not sure how, giving up 3.9 yards a carry in the first half to Derrick Henry, the way he'd been going, that you could say they were bullied. He said, okay, bullied is too strong. But their defense, he felt, was largely the benefactor of what Patrick Mahomes did on offense and got them to where they could then get back to what it is they want to do. My counter to that was, yeah, you mean like every championship caliber team, right? We haven't seen a champion, go through the playoffs 6-3, 7-2, 3-0, right? Everybody, the one thing that Curtis and I, as we dive into the numbers, there are anomalies where there's a team that's not very good on one side of the ball. The Colts were a really bad defensive team when they beat the Bears in 08, I think it was. Where was it? 05, whatever it was. Anyway, Peyton Manning's win over Rex Grossman in the Super Bowl. But for the most part, you got to be good on both sides of the ball. So is there some truth to that? That these great explosive second quarters that the Chiefs offense have had are really what's bailing out the defense, and maybe the defense still has something to prove in this game? Or are you a believer that the defense is getting it done and it's them limiting the opposition and not giving up points largely in the second quarter that's benefiting the offense?
Well, there's a few things there. Interestingly, Peyton Manning was a part, I think, of the last two most lopsided teams to win the Super Bowl. The 06 Colts, who were terrible defensively, actually turned it on in the postseason with Bob Sanders returning. And then the 2015 Denver Broncos were terrible offensively and really good defensively. But usually, as you said, that's an anomaly. A couple of things about the Chiefs' second quarters. First off, they defer. And we talked about this in the pregame show. When they defer, chances are they're going to get more possessions in the second quarter. The Chiefs' offense is much better than their defense, but that's just because their offense is one of the best we've ever seen. So, of course, you're going to want the ball in their hands as opposed to against the defense. The Chiefs' defense, you even go back, I watched the game between Garoppolo's Niners and the Chiefs last season, and they're just so much – the Chiefs do so many things that help themselves out. They tackle well in the open field. They cover a lot better, and it's not because of any one player. It's because that group is so much better than they were last year as a group, and then they're more relentless getting to the passer, even though I think individually they're not as good of a pass rushing team as they were last year. So, yes, I mean, they're doing better, obviously, because they can be aggressive, because they can, you know, they can blitz more often. They can try to stop the run and maybe give up more plays in the play-action game because their offense can back them up. Like, they're not a team with no offense, so they don't have to play conservatively defensively. But, no, their defense deserves a great deal of credit this year. And, you know, Spagnuolo, Matthew, you know, Frank Clark, all those players, you know, they deserve a lot of credit. And to just say that they're a product of a great offense is a little bit short-selling them.
All right, when you looked at that, I went back and watched that game as well on the quick cut version. What jumped out at you as to why the Niners are so much better than they were last year?
Well, there were things there that you could see were bubbling up. There, you know, Kyle Juszczyk squeaking out of the backfield for a touchdown. Those are things that they run now. George Kittle, you know, was not quite as good. He was actually kind of having difficulties with drops early in his career, but he was getting open. He was making plays. I think, you know, defensively they just cover better, which is, you know, which might just be a product of the teams that they face this season and might go away against the Chiefs this year in the Super Bowl. But they also, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, I just think their wide receivers are better than they were last season. You know, Pierre Garçon was sort of near the end of his career. Marquise Smith was still on the team, but he's, you know, he's on the, I believe, IR right now. But, like, you add in Emmanuel Sanders, you add in Deebo Samuel, and that offense is just simply more complete. And then, you know, their running backs, we talked about this before, their running backs are just a bunch of fast guys now. And before they were starting Alfred Morris, and he's just kind of a sled dog. And they, you know, they tried Carlos Hyde there too in Shanahan's first year, and that didn't work out so well. So I just think that they brought more speed to their offense. I think Shanahan's more comfortable with Jimmy Garoppolo's limitations and his strengths. And on defense, I just think they cover better. But again, we talk about defense being a product of the offense you face. I don't know how much water that's going to carry into the Super Bowl when the Chiefs can throw, you know, basically the kitchen sink at them.
How much better? We talk about the offense getting better in the second quarter, but how much does Spagnuolo do a great job of looking at what's coming at him in that first quarter and then saying, okay, here are our adjustments? You know, we've talked about that difference between a pro coach and a college coach, the guys that can make the adjustments at halftime. It seems to me that the reality of the modern NFL is the difference between an NFL coach who's just okay or maybe just going to kind of bounce around and a guy who's a real difference maker is the guy who can make the adjustments before you ever get to halftime. He doesn't need to look at all of it and see it and have time on the fly. He's recognizing and identifying what changes need to be made. Andy Reid clearly does that. Is Spagnuolo getting credit for being able to do that as well?
Yeah, I think that's partly the case. And I think another part is simply when you face the Kansas City Chiefs, you know that you have to throw everything at them because you have to score points to beat them. And so we saw it with Tennessee. We saw it with Houston 2 weeks ago, right? They ran that fake bubble screen deep pass that went to Kenny Stills for a touchdown, right? Tennessee, you know, did the thing where they, you know, the boot action fakes, the tight end was, you know, going to do that crosser, and then he came back over and he's wide open and all. But teams only have so many of those. And, you know, and a lot of it could be, you know, Spagnuolo adjusting the team, you know, sort of getting used to the speed of the opposing team and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of it is just these teams know that they have to score points to beat the Chiefs, and they throw everything at the Chiefs in the first quarter plus of the game. And by that time, they just don't have anything left. And then the Chiefs are, you know, good enough to beat their game straight up after they've taken a few punches and a few trick shots. We saw that with New England as well. Flea flicker, you know, the halfback pass, all that kind of stuff is early in the game, and the Chiefs settle down defensively at the end. And so I think a lot of it is just like, you know, these teams think that they have to score 40 to beat the Chiefs, and they're right. And unfortunately, they don't have as much, you know, ammunition as the Chiefs do.
We're talking with Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus here in the program. Chris Jones against the run. Talk about a guy who really has kind of turned his season around. We touched on this a little bit. But how much of this game is going to depend upon Chris Jones being able to stop the run? Because they're going to need him in there. Kyle Shanahan as a play caller, right? We hear that over and over again. You've said it a couple of times here. You need a guy that can get after the quarterback because he's not going to throw and just obvious throwing downs. So how important is it for Chris Jones, one, to be healthier than the 20-some-odd snaps he played last week? And how important is it for him to be able to play both the run and the pass in this game?
Very. And here was the thing that, if you're a Packers fan, the most backbreaking part of that game on Sunday was that 3rd-and-8 trap play that they ran for a touchdown to go up 14-0, right? And, you know, with Garoppolo being kind of shaky, you know, as a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl, there are going to be, even if Chris Jones just plays, you know, half the snaps on early downs and all the snaps on late downs, and they go with what's got them here, which is Xavier Williams, Mike Pinnell, Nnadi, and Saunders. Like, Jones is still going to have to stop the run on third and long situations because the 49ers have shown a willingness to do it. And so, you know, for me, I think it's extremely important. And he's in there to rush the passer. Let's not make a mistake. But he has to be sturdy against the run. And to your point, he's done a good job this year. I think a lot of it wasn't a couldn't-do-it situation. It was a wouldn't-do-it situation. And so far this season, through the first, you know, 20 weeks, he's been willing to stop the run, and you know, we, you know, as Chiefs fans, we've seen the results.
Mike Pinnell, I mean, what do the grades say on Mike Pinnell, and how is this guy just kind of a journeyman, and now he seems to be the anchor of the Chiefs' run defense?
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So when we had, you know, early in my career at PFF, I was working a lot of Packers games, and Pinnell was basically their starting, you know, one of their starting defensive ends in the 3-4. And, you know, in 2015, he played, you know, 316 snaps, had 18 stops. He played extremely well against the run, at least at some points. And then he played even better in 2016. And then he went to the Jets. And last season for the Jets, he played 358 snaps. His run defense grade for them was an 86. He's always been good. You know, he's just a guy. He only had 13 pressures last year. He's only had 7 pressures as a part of the Chiefs this year. But that's not really, you know, but he serves a really interesting and good purpose for them. And it's great. It's sort of the Moneyball A's type of thing where, like, you know, I can't afford a guy who can hit both righties and lefties at a huge clip. So I'm going to buy 2 players for half the price. One can hit lefties really well. One can hit righties really well. And the Chiefs have seemed to found that, like, they have 4 defensive tackles who don't rush the passer particularly well, but they all stop the run really, you know, fairly well. And then they just say, look, Frank Clark, that's why we pay you the big bucks. You gotta get pass rush by yourself sometimes. And then, of course, they come in with the hammer and Chris Jones on late downs, and it's a pretty good pass rush. So, no, he didn't come out of nowhere. He's been a good run stuffer at times in his career, but, you know, that isn't as valued, and good on Spagnuolo for finding sort of a cheap piece that's been really effective for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the position change is part of it, right? Like not playing D-end on the outside, on the inside, he can just kind of do what he does. You can let him just hit righties, for lack of a better term.
Right, yep, and he, you know, and the same thing with Jones, too. Like, Jones is effective as a, you know, we've seen it with Kevin Williams, John Randall in Minnesota. We've seen it, you know, at times, I believe Sheldon Richardson did it with the Jets and stuff. Like, sometimes on early downs, these really athletic interior players can play outside. And there wasn't a place for those players in the 3-4 under Sutton, but in the 4-3 under Spagnuolo, there certainly is. And that frees up those 2 middle positions for the, you know, the heavier guys to come in and stop the run. And then on late downs, you know, you can ask them just to, you know, or you can blitz on early downs. That's how you get, you know, pressure without having, you know, really effective and athletic, you know, interior players. You just blitz.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I apologize for jumping in there.
And that's like sort of what the issue has always been is, like, you know, the Chiefs linebackers weren't great coverage guys, but they can certainly blitz and make big plays that way. So it's just another, you know, feather in Spagnuolo's cap for getting the most out of players who aren't perfect on that defense.
You know, Mike Pinnell isn't Alan Bailey getting off the bus, right? Alan Bailey looked like he was, you know, loading up for Mr. Universe competitions. I mean, he was as physically fit and impressive a guy as you could see. And I'm not going to say he looked like Tarzan and played like Jane. He was more serviceable than that. But Pinnell's not quite to that. But, I mean, how does 6'4", 332, and he's really not packing any just kind of fat, slide through the cracks? I mean, I don't get it. You know, that, and you mentioned the run grades. To me, I mean, I think it's a feather in the cap of the Patriots that he went through there during the course of this year. And it speaks to, you know, that's a good personnel team, but they ultimately walked on him. And then for him to be available, I mean, this is one of the more stunning mistakes we've seen as far as the league as a whole, leaving that guy sitting out there for a couple of months in a long time, isn't it?
Yep, and I think it's just a fit thing, right? It's a I'm trying to think of, like, you know, how guys like Trevarius Ward, you know, you look at Breshad Breeland. Breshad Breeland, you know, wasn't even able to get on an opening day roster a season ago. And you know, Trevarius Ward had a good finish to last year, but again, he's a undrafted free agent trade. Like, there's so many, like, I call them local maxima in the NFL. It's not baseball where there's one objective that every team has. Like, there are different schemes, there are different teams in the NFL, and some players just fit well with, you know, some players are equally talented, you know, no matter where they go, and some players are, like, really utilized well in some schemes and very poorly in others, and, you know, we've seen that. I mean, we've seen Marcus Peters do really well at times with the Chiefs, do really poorly with the Rams, and do really well with the Ravens. It's like, you know, it just sometimes you have – you just have players that, you know, don't fit. And, you know, with New England, it's, you know, they run a different defense than the Chiefs. And so maybe Pinnell wasn't, you know, particularly effective there because they just emphasize different things. So it's interesting, but it's certainly something where you look at the New England Patriots and they can't get something out of this guy, but the New York Jets could. It's certainly a funny thing.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back more with Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. He is brought to you by our friends at Big O Tires. Now through February 2nd, take advantage of their buy three, get one free on their tires, on select tires with paid installation purchase. Buy three of them, you get the fourth one for free. All of the Big O Tires, our Big O Tire stores, are open 7 days a week. You can find out more online at BigOTires.com. We'll get back. We'll talk a little bit about the 49ers throwing the ball to the running backs, throwing the ball to George Kittle. How does this reworked Chiefs defense handle those two players, or those players, I guess I should say, multiple running backs? We'll do that next here in the program.
Your Super Bowl station.
How about those two?
Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Eric Eager is with us from Pro Football Focus, brought to you by our friends at Big O Tires, now through February 2nd. Hurry up. The month of January is rolling out now through February 2nd. Buy three, get one free on select tires with paid installation purchase. Of course, Big O Tires can handle all of the maintenance you need on your car. I am overdue for an oil change. I'll be going to Big O Tires to get that done. 16 locations, ASC certified technicians on all makes of cars, maintenance, oil, fluid changes, filters, brakes, batteries, whatever you need done with your car, they can help you out. It's Big O Tires. Go to BigOTires.com. Eric Eager, Pro Football Focus. Eric, the running backs, the tight end, George Kittle. Let's start with him, and we'll come back around to the running backs in the passing game. George Kittle, how do the Chiefs go about trying to check George Kittle?
I mean, I think you have to, use your best player there. To me, it's a it's a Tyrann Mathieu situation. It's why you got Tyrann Mathieu. It's why, when you pay a lot of money for that player and he can do a lot of things versatility-wise, but that's the reason. And so I think that they, you know, because the Niners are talented at receiver, but not, you know, they don't have another superstar, I think you let the rest of your coverage players, you know, go around with Emmanuel Sanders and the Deebo Samuels of the world, and you lock up George Kittle with Tyrann Mathieu.
Has anyone tried that?
That's a good question. I haven't gone back and looked at sort of like the, you know, how these, you know, the slot corner / safeties have done, you know, one-on-one matchups. There have been teams that have done a better job. For example, the Minnesota Vikings in the divisional round. Now, the Niners didn't have to throw very much, but when they did throw, the Vikings did a pretty good job with the Harrison Smiths of the world, shutting down Kittle. To the degree that they had to. So it has been tried before, but the fact of the matter is there are only so many safeties in the NFL for whom I would say, you know, lock Kittle up with this player. You know, there's only like a handful. So to me, that's your best chance because, again, like there aren't that many players who are as physical and as athletic as Tyrann Mathieu is. And there aren't as many tight ends who are, frankly, as good as Kittle is. You know, Travis Kelce comes to mind. But aside from that, it's a matchup that, you know, I'm looking forward to watching, and we haven't seen a whole lot of this year.
All right, how about the running backs? They don't throw a lot to their running backs, which is a little bit surprising, but they look like Aaron Jones type of guys. I asked Steve Spagnuolo today about, you know, how much, you know, when you have a bye week, not just Super Bowl, right? But anytime you get a bye week, like, how much do you just see something that's totally new? And he said, well, we'll see something, because there'll be a couple of things. He said, but, you know, you're not just going to reinvent yourself. So, to me, the one thing that this defense hasn't proven that they can do, and that's handle the really good pass-catching running back out of the backfield. You know, are you worried about their running back suddenly catching the ball out of the backfield and being, you know, maybe not having the 133 and 2 like Aaron Jones did, but having a big impact on the game?
Well, yeah, and, you know, interestingly, the Chiefs have done a pretty good job against running backs since that game. You know, they faced Austin Eckler twice, and, you know, he had some plays, but he didn't kill them. They faced the Philip Lindsays of the world with Denver, you know, and they've done a fairly good job, and it's been less. I think I wrote about this. I can't remember exact numbers, but basically in the second half of the season, their linebackers gave up about half as many yards as they did in the first half of the season. And I think a lot of that has to do with who they're putting on the running backs. And you know, it's been a lot of the Daniel Sorensens and the Juan Thornhills of the world. So, you know, the question becomes, you know, without Thornhill in there, is it Sorensen, you know, kind of playing that linebacker role with Kendall Fuller playing deep and then, you know, sort of shadowing there? I like my odds there because I think Sorensen's at least a good enough athlete to deal with them. But, you know, the hard part is when you don't have, you know, to me, like the threat out of the backfield for the Niners is their fullback Kyle Juszczyk, who I think as an athlete matches up really well with Sorensen. The guys who are the running backs, I'm more afraid of when they actually carry the football than I am when they catch the ball on screens and things like that. So I don't know. It appears to be an issue, you know, on the outside. But the way the Niners have approached throwing to their backs, I think if the Chiefs are just cognizant about Juszczyk as the fullback tight end that he is, it's not going to be as big of an issue as, you know, as we think.
How good is this offensive line of the Niners?
You know, pretty good. The tackles, you know, they're very much like the Chiefs where, you know, their two tackles are players that they've invested in, Joe Staley and Mike McGlinchey. Mike McGlinchey, a former first-round pick. And the interior guys are guys, you know, Weston Richburg injured his ankle, I believe, in the middle of December and hasn't played since. And early on in that time, they were really struggling with interior pressure. Donald, you know, made some plays. Grady Jarrett made some plays when they lost at home to Atlanta Falcons. And in the first two playoff games, though, they've really done a good job with a backup center in there. Lakin Tomlinson's a former first-round pick of the Detroit Lions who failed there and has been okay. So they're a lot like the Chiefs, where the interior of the offensive line is the most talented group in the world, but the tackles are, and they get by with that. And so I don't think the Chiefs will be overmatched in the pass rush or in the run game, but they certainly don't have – they're not, dominant, you know, in terms of talent with respect to the 49ers offensive line.
All right, we know you're one of the guys that's really pioneered how much the quarterback has, you know, can limit the sacks and the pressure. But how do you think that the Chiefs offensive line matches up with that very talented defensive line of the Niners?
Well, sure. I mean, it's going to be a problem if Patrick Mahomes isn't cognizant of it. If, you know, Andy Reid, doesn't try to slow the pass rush down. Now, he's done a great job, you know, not so much with play action in the past two games, but, you know, against defensive lines like Minnesota's, against defensive lines, for example, like Chicago's, like he's done a really good job of using play action. I think he does that a little bit more in this game than in previous weeks. You know, Mitchell Schwartz is the most valuable tackle in the NFL since he started with the Chiefs in 2016. So I think he'll be fine going up against D4 and going up against Eric Armstead and Joey Bosa should be over there. And Eric Fisher's done more than his share of solid play, you know, in the last few years. The interior is going to be tough, but, like, their interior isn't as good as their edge. Like, DeForest Buckner is a pretty good player, but kind of, you know, is not as good as the edge players that they have. And then Solomon Thomas, you know, he's a converted defensive end, so he's not going to be able to bull rush people inside. He'll have some, you know, speed moves. But, you know, Stefan Wisniewski and Austin Ryder have been very good this year. I mean, you know, they're not a huge investment for the Chiefs, but those guys have been great. The majority of the pressure on Mahomes in the playoffs has been pressure Mahomes has invited. And with most quarterbacks, I'm going to be a little worried about that. But for Mahomes, it's, you know, he's inviting that pressure so he can buy some more time and make some big plays. So I don't see, you know, people are going to be talking about the Niners defense. I'm not particularly worried about at least their front seven.
Okay. All right. And that's the strength of the team, right, on that side of the ball.
Sure. I mean, we talked about this. Sherman's one of the best, you know, zone corners in the history of the league. So he's going to be somebody that's going to be, you know, on the back end that's going to be difficult. Their safeties are solid. And you know, Akella Witherspoon was their weakness, but they've since benched him in favor of Emmanuel Mosley, who's been pretty good. He had an interception against Aaron Rodgers. So I do think their secondary is underrated. And one of the key reasons that they've gone from a decent defense to a great defense. But then, you know, a lot of times secondary play is just the offenses you face. And, you know, it's going to be quite a leap going from Devontae Adams and a bunch of scrubs to Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, and so on. You know, so they'll really be tested there. So, you know, while I respect San Francisco's defense, I'm not scared of it if I'm a Chiefs fan.
All right, we're talking to Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus. Time for our Final Four, brought to you by the Kansas City Orthopedic Institute. Ortho Urgent Care, they've got one. It's open 7 days a week. They're also proud to have received the 2019 Prescani Guardian of Excellence Award. That's given for patient experience. You can learn more yourself by visiting kcoi.com or by calling 913-319-7633. Eric, I'll start you with this. You bring in your trunks to Miami.
Am I bringing my trunk? What?
Your swimsuit. Your bathing suit.
Yes, of course.
Your swim trunks. Your Speedo.
I thought you said trunk like of like straight cash homie or something like that, you know?
No, you bring in your suit?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay. All right, there he goes. He's going to the pool. All right. Super Bowl pick right now. Tell me, give me your score. Who beats who by what score? And we'll adjust this next week if you get any more data.
Oh, let's do this. Let's go. This is not exactly what our projections are, but I'm going to go 31-28 Kansas City.
Okay, 31-28. That's not what the projection says?
Yeah, we have Kansas. I mean, we have it more on the spread, frankly. And much like last week, you know, I think what did I say? 31-24. It was 35-24. Mm-hmm. So it was close. Right. Chiefs ended up covering the number. It did go over. I think this game goes over. I think Kansas City wins by a field goal or less.
Okay. Cuban food. Are you a fan? Yes or no?
As much as anybody is. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And finally, how many Super Bowls will Patrick Mahomes play in wearing a Chiefs jersey?
Play in?
Yeah.
That's a good one. Well, look at the AFC quarterbacks for a second, and I'm going to go 5.
Okay. That's two of our big math brains, two of our analytics guys that both have said 5. That's what Seth Kizer from The Athletic said yesterday as well. Eric, great stuff. Looking forward to talking to you down in Miami next week, my friend. I know you've got some traveling to do, so have some safe travels, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, see you down there. Looking forward to it.
Your Super Bowl station.
This game is over, and so is the 50-year drought between Super Bowls.
Sports Radio 810. WHB.
Need to Know is brought to you by Five Farms Irish Cream. It may be chilly outside, but you can count on Five Farms Irish Cream to warm up your cup. Enjoy the smooth taste of Five Farms Irish Cream in your favorite mug this season. Stay cozy, Kansas City.
Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'ma tell you what you need to know. I'ma tell you what you need to hear.
All right, the Good Sense into the Hour answers what you need to hear and know, which was the first Super Bowl to be played just 1 week after the conference championship games. The championship games, I will say.
Who was the first, what was it?
First Super Bowl to be played 1 week after the conference championship games.
It's not September 11th, 01, is it? Uh-huh. Or, it happened one time way back in the day, right? I don't know. Yeah. Super Bowl IV. That would be fitting if that's what it was.
Super Bowl IV. Chiefs and Vikings teed it up 1 week after their league championship games. I believe it has happened six or seven times. Last time was Bucks Raiders in San Diego in 02.
What were we playing for there? Good Sense?
Playing for Good Sense.
Good Sense Subs. Go to GoodSenseSubs.com. get the app on your phone. You know, if I want to, I just click. I got everybody's order saved, so I know what my girlie's like.
It's
so
pretty
boom,
handy.
Click it. Whoever I'm picking up for, bang, it's in there. Pick your time that you want it ready, and then you just go by and pick it up. Plus, that loyalty club gets you 10% back. I don't know what you're waiting for. If you don't have the app, if you're not in the Good Sense loyalty club, I don't know what you're thinking. Okay? Start thinking.
Get with it.
Get with it. GoodSenseSubs.com. Put your order in right now. You can pick it up on your way home at any time. Or if you need a quick lunch, go in, pick it up. Boom. Got the big lunch line. It's there. They slice the meats and cheeses fresh right in front of you. They make the bread fresh twice each day. Not because it's easy, folks, because it tastes better. Good Sense. Some things you need to know. This is another mock draft. CBS did a mock draft today. Mm-hmm. Josh Howard, is that who it is? Josh Edwards. Mm. Did a mock draft today. Significant because every time I see a mock draft, the Chiefs are picking 31 and the Niners are picking 32.
Are they just going on record or what? I mean, it's not that determined
could be.
By, but it just kind of...
Alphabetically by city? Yeah, alphabetically right. By team? No, you'd put numbers in front of letters,
reverse
right?
Reverse order of metropolitan population? I don't know.
I don't know. But the way, Tyler Beatties, it's the Wisconsin offensive lineman, is really good. It's who they have the Chiefs taking. Guard, 6'3", 321. If you were curious who they have the Chiefs taking. I don't think they're going to go guard in the first round, but whatever. This is cute. I just kind of getting tired of watching them pick 31.
Maybe we get Josh Edwards on, see why he hates Kansas City.
I think that'd be the way I'd ask it. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Why do you hate Kansas City?
What is the deal? And why don't you have the Good Sense app?
Yes. I don't know where he's based. Maybe he does have it.
He's smart.
I'd respect his mock draft more. I'll tell you that right now.
You bet he had the Good Sense app.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I guess we're taking Tyler Beatties.
I'd respect it a lot more if he had that. you see where Derek Carr addresses Raiders quarterback rumors. Owners chat with Tom Brady. Plans to take first snap in Vegas. That's what Derek Carr plans to do. But Tom Brady to Raiders being discussed.
Wow.
This morning I heard our Adam Schefter talking about this. And he's like, you know, they waited on Gronkowski. And he took like a week or two into free agency. And by the time he made up his mind, he wasn't coming back. There were no more tight ends. He said, you know, Brady's going to get some time to figure it out. But they're not going to wait like till training camp.
No.
You know, they're going to make a move on a quarterback.
There was some
I think the Raiders and Chargers and whoever else is going to be in the market for him. Would be interested. The Bucks. If the Bucks are interested in Phillip Rivers, they got to be interested in Tom Brady, don't they?
Would think so.
If you were Tom Brady, Raiders, Chargers, and Bucks, where are you going?
Wow.
Raiders and Gruden with whatever you think of their talent. Bucks and Arians with whatever you think of their talent. Chargers and I don't even know who's their OC now. Anthony Lynn's the head coach, but
probably got the best running back in Las Vegas.
Probably have the best coach in Tampa Bay, though.
You got the best wideouts in Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd go Tampa.
I think I might take Tampa if I wanted to win, but their defense blows.
Yeah.
In the division they play against, though, I mean, Breeze is getting old. Yeah. Cam Newton, right?
Ryan.
Matt Ryan. He's kind of a stiff. I think I'd go Bucks.
Well, especially how about Drew Brees?
Playing where it's nice.
Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and Phillip Rivers are all free agents.
Wow.
So think about that.
A lot of years, a lot of snaps. A
lot of snaps.
But if anyone's going to play the Joe Montana with the Chiefs at the end, it's those guys.
Yeah.
So, like, I think, you know, I think the Raiders, it's going to be funny when they eject on Derek Carr.
Just living in Vegas, taking snaps from his son or whatever. I told you I'd take snaps in Vegas.
By the way, there's some pushback on people when the Raiders officially changed their Twitter handle yesterday upon the announcement. The official account of the 3-time Super Bowl champion Las Vegas Raiders. People are like, yeah, the Las Vegas Raiders have not won 3 Super Bowls. There was a lot of people that were like, Oakland Raiders won 2. Los Angeles Raiders won 1.
Yeah. From a Chiefs perspective, Travis Kelce and Jordan Lucas didn't practice today due to illness. When asked, Chiefs head of PR, Ted Cruz, said he was asked, is it the same thing that's going around? He said, yeah, it's the same thing everybody else has had. So hopefully, you know, good time to get done with it now. Concussions were up in the NFL, but only slightly in 19 from 214 in 18 to 224. Maybe they're just better at diagnosing it. I think that's – we'll see. Let's see what the numbers are next year. Because I know they were down last year. So, to me, that's, you know, within a reasonable – just could have been a rough year, right? Vikings are turning the offensive coordinator duties over to Gary Kubiak. I thought he was done because of health reasons.
Yeah, it's
– what happened? What happened in Denver?
Healthy.
Well, and you know who else? Jerry Kill keeps coming back taking jobs. And then retiring because of health. And then he's back. Royals are going to wear a patch in honor of David Glass. I think that's
I'll tweet that out.
They should do. Yeah. The DG with the crown.
That's
great looking.
That's a great.
That does look good. I think that's a nice move. We'll see you tomorrow from Hen House.